to be the case, then that's what I'll do. I'm not sure when this radio was, when it came out initially. It was my second radio, so I'd say maybe 10 or 11 years ago. But it's capable of doing that. I've been reading the, I have a little manual. It's not as big and confusing as the original manual. But this one is spiral bound, and it's very tiny print, unfortunately. My eyesight isn't what it used to be. So my glasses are not capable of, anywhere I look, you know, in my glasses, I can't read this fine print. So I take my glasses off. And then it's becoming more difficult even after that. I'm extremely nearsighted, which means that the correction is so that I will be able to see things at a distance. I can take the glasses off and see things close to me, usually without a problem. But in the last 2 years or so, that part is getting more difficult, seeing things close to me. What I can think is that the eyes are continuing to change. As I get older, things are getting more difficult. And I'll just have to live with that. You haven't reached that point in your life yet, Andy, but I assure you that a time will come, if you live long enough, that all the parts start wearing thin. And, well, at least changing on you. And we just adapt. That's what we do. Yeah. So, anyhow, this manual is, it covers in a few pages what a very thick manual, the original one, takes great pains to explain. This one doesn't explain so much. It just gives you the bare bones information. I'm sure it would be helpful if I read and understood the original manual. And this one would just then remind me of what I have read. Anyway, radios are complicated. Part of the challenge of being in this hobby is staying up to date, especially with your own equipment, if you understand what I'm saying. KK4JBQ.
Oh, hell's the guy. Well, I think when it comes to this, about this digital tone, it's going to be more of an issue on bringing the repeater up than it is the other way that he's talking. But yeah, it can be used that way too, but it's, without that digital tone ability, you're not going to be able to bring it up, I'm afraid. And our good buddy Robert Webster was doing the Skype on that in the wee hours of the morning. He was this morning, because I heard him say over there, when he was doing the Skype one night, he was up to 3:45 this morning. So he was over there with the Skype one night. So he had one workout last night.
I mentioned that in case I should talk with Robert in the next few days. I wasn't awake at 3 a.m. But I'm thankful that he and others were. We've had some pretty exciting things go on. Wind like I've never seen. Well, I was in a tornado once. But I was indoors. And I didn't really see it. It blew through a parking lot and shook the cars real violently. Didn't turn any of them over. After it was over, everybody just walked out the building, got in their car, and went home. That They said it was a tornado. It may have been straight line winds, which can reach terrible speeds, but not have the damaging effect of the vortex, the twisting. Yeah, that's why they call a tornado a twister. The wind twists. And so it's coming from all directions at once, or so it seems. And it can make things, it can make things like automobiles, which are pretty much sealed up, you know, it can make them explode because of the differential between the inside pressure and the outside pressure. It can do some pretty serious damage that a straight line wind will not do. Make homes. I don't know if it's explode or implode. I guess it depends on where the pressure is greatest. Phenomenon I've not had to deal with. Thank goodness. But anyhow, it's been, amateur radio is something that you can never stop learning. If you do, then you're behind that much, and then as time goes on, you're behind even more. You know, so you keep trying to stay up with the changes. They will affect you, whether you have that equipment now or not, but this has come along and affected you. So using a radio that's from the 90s, maybe the early 90s, that has come along and affected you. And we're just waiting now for your radio to come back. So they only have that one. They don't link that repeater to anything else that you might be able to hear. Is that correct?
J-I-4-L-Z-I. From what I understood, Udner stood him to saying, if you listen close on 4-7, you'll hear it sometimes. You know, you're taking, hear the courtesy tones off other repeaters. As it stands now on 4-7, from my understanding of what they said, by going this digital tone, you won't hear all that. Yes, when they're linked up to the one sister, they're linked up to others, but my biggest problem is, though, what I get the best here is either 4-7 or 147-195, because Mandel's, any time there's a warning over here in Pickens County, the 147-195 links into the one system, which ultimately is linked in to the Sky 104-7. So, being that Billy's transmit antenna's been low on the tire this week, I wasn't able to hear it on my HD, but I tuned to 147.195 and heard everything that was going on. But till I read that email and heard about this digital tone business, you know, I hadn't thought about digital tones. I was thinking, well, I just hadn't went into that much depth and detail because most people are using what we call nowadays analog tones. And this radio here will handle that just fine. But till I come about, I hadn't thought about that. And from what I heard over on the 7-9 repeater, 146.79 tonight, there's places down in Anderson that they did get some rough weather and still without power down there.
We're in that time of year when the seasons are changing and the weather patterns along with the seasons. That makes for some pretty exciting weather events. We had one about 8:15 this morning. Almost exactly at 8:15. There was a clap of thunder resulting from lightning. I'm indoors, so I didn't see the lightning. to determine whether it was cloud to ground, ground to cloud, or cloud to cloud. You know, there's that three types of lightning. But it was right over our heads. Donna heard it too. She mentioned it later in the day. I wasn't going to mention it to her, but it was like no other sound of thunder that I had heard before. It was a huge blast, you might say. And then it was quiet for a moment. And then you heard like echoes of that thunder. And this was off in the distance, so it's going to, wherever it was, and it was quite close. I'm thinking it would be to the northeast, in a direction to the northeast, but very close to us. Loudest clap of thunder I've ever heard. It was kind of scary. And everything was quiet. I mean, whatever was, it was like all the electricity. But everything seemed to be a lot quieter. Maybe all the animals out there took note, and every one of them were quiet. It was a little bit scary. But that's a weather event, and we'll finally get, you know, the change will be complete, and we'll get the usual hot days and humidity and stuff like that. All of that's coming back. But the situation that was true in the early spring and, of course, the winter, all that's passing away now, moving on. And I can understand why people used to think, many, many, many years ago, they used to think that there was a war going on up there. You know, when the seasons would change, that the, I don't know who would be having the war, but I can understand how they might think that way back in, you know, several hundred years ago. KK4JBQ.
Well, hell's the guy, that's why I was asking, what was that, 2 or 3 weeks ago on Saturday when I, Butter Ham was talking about solar panels. I know out here near Pickens, in certain places, there's all kinds of people got solar panels, either out on stands out in the yard or up on the roof of their house. And what I was asking about that a few weeks ago, you get a big enough piece of hail, those things are going to go to pieces, period. And depending on how big the solar, like some of these I've seen out here, they're very expensive solar panels. That's going to be a lot to replace.
True, and I know you have a steel roof there, but even steel roofs can be damaged by hail the size of your fist. And I've seen that only one time, but I've seen that here. I don't know, maybe it was 8 or 9 years ago, came a hailstorm right outside the house here. And they hit the ground, and I couldn't believe my eyes how big these hailstones were. You know, they have to stay, they go up a column of air and collect moisture on the way back down, and then they're shot up in the air again. They have to go up and down, and they've got to get that big, that's how they grow. They go up and they go down in the atmosphere. And so it must have been going up and down for hours to get that big. But they did a lot of damage to cars parked outside in our neighborhood. Just dents, you know. As far as I know, nobody had broken glass. Kind of difficult to break tempered glass. with a hailstone anyway. But then I'm sure that happens. Anyhow, something that size would damage your roof also. And if you have a regular composition type of roof, you know, with shingles and stuff like that, you're going to be replacing the roof. Our roof was replaced when that hailstorm I'm talking about 8 or 9 years ago. It was quite an expense. Every house around here had to have a new roof. Yeah, it's dangerous, and that's why you have insurance, you know. You know, you can get insurance on your radios. Whether you wish to is your decision, but if you're concerned about things, you can insure most everything. Insurance company would be happy to take your money on the chance that you won't have a problem. But if you do, they'll make you whole again. That's the whole idea around insurance. KK4JBQ.
Well, hell, see, all we can do like I done, most of this gear here is not even built anymore, including 8900. This 718 I got here, I guess, out of everything I've got here is probably, and maybe that DMR-HT that someone gave me is the newest thing I got, and as a result, I dropped the insurance. Now look what's happened since. My power supply started giving me problems on HF. Had to replace it, and may not be able to see good till which on the battery. I goofed up to 8900 and blew a diode in it, so it waited till after two or three years after I dropped it. Then now it's starting to add up.
You understand. You know, radios themselves and the other equipment that you mentioned is not automatically insured on a homeowner's insurance. It's usually a special, what they call a rider, or something you can add to your homeowner's insurance, which would cover items like that. I think that the ARRL has insurance through them for radio equipment, and I don't know what it involves, because if you took all of my equipment together, it wouldn't be it wouldn't be a lot to replace it. So I don't have a tower, don't have many antennas, just the one. So I have a very modest station. So. Anyway, I'm not insured for loss. I wouldn't make a homeowner's claim for a loss. I guess I might include it if it's the only threat that we've had here, besides the hailstorm that I spoke of, is flood. We're not in a floodplain, but enough water can, let's say, what I observed, we were flooded once. And if you can have it once, you can have it again, of course. Well, what kind of rate of rainfall would it take? Well, the day after that flood, and we were still taking the newspaper at the time, it was on the front page. And the rate of rainfall was 3 inches an hour. And it rained for solid, steady for several hours. It just kept coming down. And the water had no way, you know, it builds up and it runs off, but then the ground becomes soaked, and what was being absorbed into the ground had to run somewhere. And it just came right in under the doors. So. But that's an unusual event, really. That, I think, I would have reported that on homeowner's insurance had it damaged, had it gotten, if it kept raining like that, you know, it would have been several inches going up the walls. I don't think that's funny. Don't get me wrong. It's very unfortunate. I lived in New Orleans for a while, and when the levees broke there during Katrina, people had water in their houses. Probably the house that I lived in while I was living in New Orleans had water that would be over your head. You're kind of a tall guy, Andy, but this water, when those levees broke, they have high ceilings there, generally speaking. The older homes did. Might be 10 or 12 feet. So it might be 9 or 10 feet in the house. Now, you know everything's going to be damaged. KK4JBQ.
And that's who I had the insurance with at one time on this radio equipment, was through ARRL. It was. You talking about the flooding down there. You know, you've been down there some. I haven't. There's two stations. One of them, I don't know about the shortwave station, how long it's been there or not, but it's been there long enough that at one time Rush Limbaugh was on it. The other one has been down there forever and a day, WWL radio down there. How did those commercial stations manage through all that flooding down there?
I understand it, Andy. The commercial stations, their actual transmitters are not on site. So they could, with the switching that they're able to do, they could stay on the air with auxiliary stations that are located in several places. You know, there's some folks, for instance, like Rush Limbaugh, have stations in their home, and they send it over the internet, or in some places remote, like let's say Arizona, they would send those maybe microwaves to a place where the antenna and transmitter are actually located. So it's a very different setup than amateurs are capable of organizing. And so they won't be going off the air. They have contingencies. There are plans that will go into effect automatically if something really serious happens. And their station, wherever they're located, their business offices and such as that, if that's compromised, then they'll still stay on the air. They've got plans. Let's put it that way. KK4JBQ.
4LZI. Well, I didn't know that they had any hills. I know you're talking about the networking business. Like Ray used to live with the microwaves on Paris Mountain back in the microwave when things are microwave now. You're right. The microwave, the phone line back in the 20s when all of it first started through the regular telephone line and now the internet, but they didn't. I thought that, from my understanding, that whole area down in there is below sea level down there. They didn't have one tire down there at all to be affected.
Right in New Orleans proper, it is just a few inches above sea level. And the way you can remember that and picture it in your head is that they didn't bury people. There are no graves in New Orleans. They put people in crypts or boxes, concrete or stone, above ground. I toured while living down there. I toured several cemeteries. And you know, if you have to bury people above ground, you can make a big deal about it. And the rich did just that. made big mausoleums and such. You know, even the small mausoleums were impressive because, you know, it's not like digging a hole and putting your body in there and covering it up with a little marker, you know. It's not that at all. And that's regulated, of course. Now, maybe years and years ago, before the founding of the nation, let's say, New Orleans was still there. Maybe not the town, but the area of the country was there. But what did people do? Well, I guess they just, when the floods came, the floods came. But modern civilization changed all that, and they made regulations that there was no in-ground burials. It's not below sea level, it's just inches above. And then, of course, New Orleans is called, its nickname is the Crescent City. It's in a, it's in a crescent around a lake. Now, the lake, of course, is, the source for the lake is below sea level. And the lake rises to just inches above, or just inches below the water, the land, of course. And that lake can overflow its boundaries. And so civilization built levees around the lake, Lake Pontchartrain it's called. Now, it was when those levees broke during a hurricane, Hurricane Katrina, the levees broke, and then all of the water that was behind the levees that had built up washed into the city. Now, at that point, it didn't matter whether it was a few tens of feet. There was very high water levels throughout New Orleans. I felt awfully bad when I first heard about the damages that Katrina brought. And the people that I knew there who were tossed out of their homes. And of course, we all watched survivors and those who were put out of their homes gather into the Superdome there, and the mess that was. It was a tragic time. KK4 JBQ.
4LZI. You had the 40 meter band during that summer. I didn't have a 718, but I had a receiver that would receive HF still at the time on sideband. 40 meter band was filled with traffic passing, the various kinds of traffic during the summer of 05 and right after that. Well, I done forgot the exact time when it done it, but it was right after. I mean, 40 meters was, you couldn't find any place in the 40 meter band that there wasn't some traffic passing going on.
Kind of event that amateur radio can shine, and we can be of the greatest service to the community around us. Tragic times, times that overwhelm people. You know, a flood does that. It does that pretty effectively. And something like the hurricane and all that a hurricane brings, and then the breaking of the levees and all of that water rushed out, you know, that was just tragic. One tragedy on top of another tragedy. When things stack up like that, then it's, the losses are horrible. I don't know that I listened very closely when they were giving the death count, and I did turn it off intentionally when they were talking about all the looting that was going on and the damage to property that wasn't caused by nature but was caused by people that would come in and break into homes and run off with stuff. I just don't want to be reminded. Of how bad people can be given certain opportunity. Some people can't be anything. Their nature comes out. That's unfortunate. But that's the world we live in. And, you know, I do think that it's always been that way. There's a certain group of people. They don't gather together for meetings, you understand. But there's a certain group of people out there that will take advantage of anything. I guess the time will come when they will feel what a bad thing that was. I'm sort of have a scratchy throat tonight, Andy. I'm going to have to. It's about 15 to 11 anyway. Gracious, or maybe I'm not reading that clock right. I've got a clock that doesn't. It's a digital clock, and some of the numbers don't light up real good. So across the room, it looks like 10:40. Am I close?
Well, this clock I got here on the other side of the room from me here is set by WWV and CHU Canada that I hear off of HF. It says 10:41.
Well, this clock that I have is just approximate. You know, it's not, it doesn't have a time standard that it consults. I'm the time standard. When it gets too bad off, I go and reset it. But it's handy because it's directly in front of me. It has those fluorescent numbers, you know. They're kind of a light blue color on a black background. It's easy to read ordinarily. But it's getting kind of old now, and I don't blame it for being a little wheezy. Some of the numbers, all the parts of the numbers don't light up. So I can look at the time, and I can't really trust it. It might be the right time, but if all the parts of the numbers do not light up, it doesn't make that number anymore. You know. You know what I'm talking about. So, anyhow. It's about 20 minutes then till you must take your medicine. And my throat is getting kind of scratchy, so I don't think we solved any of the world's problems. I think we just touched on a few of the problems without actually solving anything. But that's okay, too. Sometimes people just need to talk. But tonight I've reached my capacity, and it's been quite a day. Aside from all that, it's been a good day. I won't characterize it any other way. It's been a good day, but it took a bit out of me. So, Andy, you have a good night's rest, and I trust we'll both be around tomorrow and the day after and the day after. Maybe we'll talk again. It's KK4JBQ, and I'll be goodbye on your final. 7-3.
Poor hell's the guy. I don't know if Bentley's going to stay on that 147-135 with that digital tone. He hasn't said. Right now, he says he's just trying that out. I don't know if he's going to be on there a month, 3 months, or permanently. That's kind of the impression I get, but the fact that he wants to use that digital tone on it, though, that means you got to have a fairly new radio. Say you're 2000, 2001, something like that, and receive ain't the critical part. It's on the transmit, whether your transceiver, as we've said, will bring it up, and if it's digital, you know, that's going to make a difference in how old your radio is, so I thought I'd let you know about that. Because I have at times if you check in and let you know about some of the changes and what to expect there, so you might have we will be prepared. Because that's what I heard here tonight, and this about the different types of tones. I've heard this for the past week and a half, because I wasn't thinking about between analog and digital and analog like that. I just hadn't thought about it, because most people don't use them that much yet. So, KK4JBQ, KI4LZI.